There is one last thing, I said, and nodded at Breeda, who brought out the leather bag with its gold, jet and silver. It was your father's, I said, and Kjartan never found it, and we did. And we have spent some of it, but what remains is yours. I pushed the bag toward him and made myself instantly poor. Ragnar pushed it back without a thought, making me rich again. My father loved you too, he said, and I am wealthy enough. We ate, we drank, we slept. And in the dawn, when a light mist shimmered over the reed beds, the wind viper went. The last thing Ragnar said to me was a question. Thyra lives? She survived, I said. So I think she must still live. We embraced. He went, and I was alone. I wept for Breeda. I felt hurt. I was too young to know how to take abandonment. During the night I had tried to persuade her to stay, but she had her will as strong as Eldwulf's iron, and she had gone with Ragnar into the dawn mist and left me weeping. I hated the three spinners at that moment, for they wove cruel jests into their vulnerable threads. And then the fisherman came to fetch me, and I went back home. Autumn gales tore at the coast, and Alfred's fleet was laid up for the winter, dragged ashore by horses and oxen, and Leofric and I rode to Wintonchester, only to discover that Alfred was at his estate in Chippenham. We were permitted into the Wintonchester palace by the doorkeeper, who either recognised me or was terrified of Leofric, and we slept there. But the place was still haunted by monks despite Alfred's absence, and so we spent the day in a nearby tavern.
So, what will you do, Ursling? Leofric asked me. Renew your oath to Alfred?
Don't know.
Don't know? He repeated sarcastically. Lost your decision with your girl?
I could go back to the Danes, I said.
That would give me a chance to kill you, he said happily.
Or stay with Alfred.
Why not do that?
Because I don't like him, I said.
You don't have to like him. He's your king.
He's not my king, I said. I'm a Northumbrian.
So you are, Ursling. A Northumbrian elderman, eh?
I nodded, demanded more ale, tore a piece of bread in two and pushed one piece toward Leofric. What I should do, I said, is go back to Northumbria. There is a man I have to kill.
A feud?
I nodded again.
There is one thing I know about blood feuds, Leofric said, which is that they last a lifetime. You will have years to make your killing, but only if you live.
I'll live, I said lightly.
Not if the Danes take Wessex, you won't. Or maybe you will live, Ursling, but you'll live under their rule, under their law, and under their swords. If you want to be a free man, then stay here and fight for Wessex.
For Alfred? Leofric leaned back, stretched, belched, and took a long drink.
I don't like him either, he admitted. And I didn't like his brothers when they were kings here. And I didn't like his father when he was king. But Alfred's different.
Different? He tapped his scarred forehead.
The bastard thinks, Ursling, which is more than you or I ever do. He knows what has to be done, and don't underestimate him. He can be ruthless.
He's a king, I said. He should be ruthless.
Ruthless, generous, pious, boring. That's Alfred.
Leofric spoke gloomily.
When he was a child, his father gave him toy warriors. You know, carved out of wood. Just little things. He used to line them up, and there wasn't one out of place. Not one. And not even a speck of dust on any of them.
He seemed to find that appalling, for he scowled.
Then, when he was 15 or so, he went wild for a time. Humped every slave girl in the palace. And I've no doubt he lined them up too, and made sure they didn't have any dust before he rammed them.